Hello everyone, this is Will.
And this is Alex.
And welcome back to another episode of They Mostly Come Out at Night.
Mostly.
Wow.
Masterpiece.
Best one we've seen yet.
Yes. I don't think that's even a bold statement.
Sheer ridiculous, just, I don't know, like, this movie is so all over the place.
This is on a different level.
Yeah, this is unlike anything we've ever watched.
We finally got our first action movie. Our first political thriller.
Espionage.
Yeah.
We could go in every genre.
Medieval dungeon crawler.
Medieval dungeon crawler. Torture movie. Whatever you want to call it. I don't know.
Middle Eastern travelogue. By Middle East, I mean a picture.
An example of how not to do bad sound editing.
Well, you didn't get sick of the fucking echo sound effects?
No, I got sick of the...
That you can't hear people?
The
because...
shrieking, loud laser noises.
And the...
And the, like, the sound, you know? Like, when you get annoyed when a car stops and their brakes are kind of... unaligned, yeah. So it makes that really loud screeching
sound. That's the whole movie.
That's like all cringy.
The whole movie.
That's every sound you hear in this movie is pretty much that.
Or the endless water dripping over and over and over.
I don't even know where to begin with this one. It is by far the most incoherent one we've watched, but also the best one we've
watched. Let's start with the picture.
I think we should start with the title. Because we need to... I totally forgot we didn't even say the title yet.
Brain of Blood?
Yeah, yeah. Brain of Blood, 1971. We're still in the thick of it. Yeah, so... let's just get into it. Yeah, so it starts with a picture.
Yes. Of, like, it looks like the Taj Mahal, kind of.
Or some architecture in, like, India. Or, yeah. Like, you know, the surrounding countries, something like that. But it's supposed to be, like, the actual building that they're in, right?
Yes. But it's the government building. The government of Khalid.
Khalid, yeah.
It's not a real country, but, you know.
So you look at it, and you're like, okay, so it's an establishing shot. But it's not a shot.
No.
You look at it, and you see
Zoom in on the picture.
Yeah, you see the people, and they're not walking.
Yeah.
They're just standing still.
And it gets more and more grainy as you keep zooming in.
Yeah. So they just used a stock picture.
Yes.
As their... that's the opening shot.
Uh-huh.
Well, shot. I don't know if you could call it a shot, but...
I mean, it is a shot, technically.
So it goes into this kind of benevolent, like, leader of Khalid.
He's on, like... a hospital bed.
Yeah. Amir, I think his name is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The president.
And he has his bodyguard, Muhammad.
Yeah. And the doctor.
And the doctor, Bob.
Yeah.
And then his wife.
Very memorable name.
Bob.
I
mean, that's why I remember it, because it's so short. And
I didn't remember it.
And then the wife, and I can't remember her name.
I don't remember.
So it shows the Amir on his deathbed.
They're talking about some sort of operation.
Yeah, and they're talking about how good of a ruler he's been, and him and Bob are like really good friends.
Really good friends, yeah.
Because Bob's a doctor there, and he's taking care of Amir. And so Amir is talking about like if everything's ready, if all the preparations are ready, and we're like, what is going on? Like, who is this Amir guy?
Oh yeah,
it explains it later, but way later.
Sort of.
So well, yeah.
Sort of.
It just establishes that he is some really well-known person, very influential, and a lot of people love him.
Yeah.
That's all it establishes.
And he needs an operation.
Yeah, and he needs an operation.
He's about to die.
Muhammad says that the car is all ready to go, everything's ready to go, and then he slowly...
He proposes right before he...
Oh, yeah, he wants to get married to his wife, that's right.
Yeah, because well, she's not his wife at that point. She's like, I guess she's like a government person? But he tells her, like, I'd love for you to be my wife. And she's like, there'd be no greater honor for you, Amir. Because, you know, you've done so much good to our people.
Yeah, and we're just, it still hasn't established really anything yet. I don't even think it said Khalid at that point. Like,
I don't think it did.
Just kind of just is like, here you go.
It's just a guy, yeah. Just guess. Just figure it out for yourself, Will.
I mean, again, it does explain it later, but it's like way too late at that point yes. to even care.
Are you saying you didn't care? I cared.
Did you?
Oh, yeah. I've never been more riveted by a fucking political brain transplant movie in my life.
Okay, fair enough.
Yeah.
It's
one of a kind.
it definitely is that. So he dies on the
yeah.
gurney.
And
then it show, and then the title.
Yeah, then there's the opening credits.
Okay.
Which is extremely dramatic and annoying.
Yeah.
The sound editing is trash.
It shows like
a brain.
Like an old x-ray of a brain.
Yeah.
And then it goes into like a red tint and it says, the brain of blood.
Yeah.
You know, and all the credits, every single credit given
yeah.
in the first.
Like, there's not that many.
No. It wasn't a very, very big crew. But again.
Oh, really? Wow.
Who would want to ruin their reputation on this film?
I mean, I don't know. Would you want this on your resume?
No.
Sure.
Yeah.
I mean, imagine being the person who had to supply the red paint for this movie.
Oh, well, they probably went to the store
and bought it. Or the person who had to supply the laser sound effects.
Oh, man. You mean the guy who had the shittiest car and they just recorded his his brakes screeching
yes.
all the time?
Or the person who provided the car that magically becomes a white car?
Yeah.
Yeah, we'll get to that.
We'll get to all that.
So
it shows all the credits and then it goes to the doctor's office, right?
It's either that or they, No, it goes
no,
to
they're
them.
Driving. They're,
them driving.
They're driving at night.
Yes.
And they're taking the Amir,
yes.
the guy who's not in a coffin.
Excuse me.
It's not they're
a
like
coffin.
They're talking about how, like, oh well, how are we preserving the body?
Yeah.
And it's like, oh, this special wrapping will like
yeah.
help him not decompose.
He's wrapped in tinfoil.
They just wrapped the dummy or the actor. I can't remember.
Yes.
I don't know.
They wrapped him like a fucking ham.
In tinfoil.
Okay.
And not very well in tinfoil either. It's like they just scrunched it all over him.
They wrapped him like a fucking ham.
Yeah.
Okay.
Or a turkey.
Yes.
Yeah.
Literally. And put him in a box.
So they get to wherever they're going, and they take him out of the car.
In the box.
In the box, and they all carrying him into the
doctor's. The doctor's office. Lab.
Lab. Yes. Which,
the doctor
of course,
inhales.
Since it's a doctor's lab, it has bubbling, like, you know, like,
yes.
weird, like, vials
and
of
you
stuff.
Get used
and,
to
like,
the sound effects.
And, like, little,
like
a jar of rats.
Oh, yeah.
For no reason.
But it's, like, yeah, bubbling, like, green liquids and shit. It looks like a fucking, like, high school chemistry lab.
We're made to think this guy's a surgeon, because, it establishes he's a surgeon.
Yes.
Why would a surgeon have, like, a chemistry set in his office?
Because that's what... I don't know, because that's a lab. Why
would he have mice? Like, they were really trying to push, like, the mad scientist kind of thing.
Because it's a lab. Here. It's got to have mice that he experiments on.
Mice and chemistry,
they
you
never
know?
Show it again. And he has a little midget assistant for no reason. And, like, I don't know. What was his name? Dar?
Doro.
Doro or something like that?
Doro
yeah.
was, I think, his name, but he called him Dor.
Yeah.
For short.
Yeah, and he wears like a, what's that hat? Like a trilby or something?
It kind of looks like an old school caddy hat.
Yes, he wears like a caddy hat, and he's in charge of getting the blood, which we'll get to.
So they bring Amir in.
And they unwrap him.
They unwrap him like
they
a ham.
Unwrap the ham.
Like, you know how you go into
and it's
your,
the actor.
Like, if you ever have a ham and you like go, you're like, I'm gonna make myself a ham sandwich
yeah.
after you've already had it, and you unwrap the
yes.
You just tear off the.
That's what they do.
The tin foil. That's what they do. They just tear
yes.
off the aluminum foil
mm-hmm.
of his head and then unwrap him, and then it even makes the crinkling sound
oh,
as
yeah.
it like unwraps him.
Oh yeah.
And then they drape him over, and they're like, okay. And then Muhammad's all worried because there's no other body there, right?
Yeah.
And we're
don't worry, we're in the process.
It slowly is establishing that they're trying to transplant Amir's brain into a healthy body, and so the doctor's like,
and that way he'll continue his rule as the president of Khalid.
So the doctor is like, don't worry, we're getting a body, we just need one fresh and healthy.
Yeah.
And then it just cuts to some guy running
down an alleyway.
Running down an alleyway.
An alleyway that has an oven sitting in it.
Yeah, and but keep in mind, it never establishes where we're supposed to be.
No.
Like,
it's just an alleyway.
Ever.
Just somewhere. I don't even know what fucking country they're in.
The entire movie, it doesn't explain anything.
No.
The only country you hear of is Khalid.
Yes.
That's it.
I don't know where this fucking office is supposed to be or anything.
It doesn't say anything.
I guess, under the logic of the movie, they took him in his fucking tinfoil, like a ham, and boarded him on a plane out of Khalid?
Yeah.
And took him to wherever
this guy is? Yeah.
Can you imagine?
Because he's the only surgeon that can work on...
How do you think that was when they submitted him into customs?
I'm sure it went fine.
Why is there a body wrapped in tinfoil?
Why is there, like, a guy wrapped like a turkey in here?
Oh, just don't worry about it. He's don't preserving... Worry. He's, you know... We're preserving him.
Don't you know who this is? This is Amir.
The magical tinfoil powers.
So, it shows the guy walking, like, running down the hallway, and then it shows a big lumbering guy, like, just slowly, like...
Following the guy in the alleyway.
Sauntering towards the guy.
Then it cuts back to the lab.
Yeah.
And there's some more stuff. Like, they get him ready, and they get Doro to shave Amir's head.
And then they start cutting open his head.
Yes. And then it cuts... At some point, it cuts again to...
The guy
being chased in the alleyway. And he's climbing up a ladder.
And then he goes into a woman's house.
And starts robbing her.
Yeah, just starts robbing her. It has zero establishment. We don't know who this guy is. We don't know who's following.
We got it eventually, but that was without the movie telling us.
Right.
We were just like, oh, I get it.
So he goes in, starts robbing the place. He starts like looking around, and then he hears the door unlocking, and goes into
her
closet. And I think it jumps back to the doctor's.
No.
Not. Oh,
it shows
not yet.
The
okay.
woman coming in.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. It shows the woman coming in. And in her living room, she just starts, like, taking off her clothes.
Yeah, we noticed the theme.
Like, in all these movies, like, they just take off their clothes in their living room. Like, they don't even wait till they get to their bedroom.
No, they immediately take their clothes off.
She just, like, just strips...
Immediately.
Strips her shirt off right there in the middle of her living room.
And then goes to the closet.
And then goes to the closet and doesn't see the guy, and she starts hanging stuff up, and then... She
turns around
and sees... It just... It zooms in on this guy's eye, this big giant's eye.
Yeah, and then she screams and faints.
Yep. Then the guy comes out of the closet. He comes out of the closet and he looks and he's like, oh.
He freaks out.
Yeah, he starts like climbing up the window again, and then we see the guy like
the big guy
give chase.
Yeah, quote unquote. And then they're just on the, like, balcony thing?
And the guy...
The fire escape?
And the big guy gets a hold of
him. They start wrestling?
And then the big guy throws him off the balcony.
Yes, he throws a dummy over the balcony.
And it's the most incoherent scream I've ever heard. It clearly wasn't a man screaming.
No.
It sounded like they took a woman screaming and, like, weirdly, like, morphed it into something else.
Exactly.
It sounds almost like it's like a goat or like it sounds really weird. It definitely isn't the guy.
No.
The guy's scream.
Oh no, they just overlaid it.
So he falls on the ground
and dies.
So then we get back to the doctor's office and he's cutting open the brain.
Mhm.
And you know, red paint starts to ooze out of this fake head.
Yeah, I think that's why Amir died.
Mhm.
His brain was full of paint.
Yep,
because we also mentioned when they're doing the operation, they're doing like the typical thing where the doctor has like his hand, and he's like, scalpel. And then his assistant gives him a scalpel. But there's one point when like he asks for something, and he sticks his hand out, and the assistant just like taps his hand with it, and then puts it down on like the table.
Mm-hmm.
And the doctor still has his hand out.
And all the assistant is doing is putting cloths over this guy's head and then taking them off.
Yes.
And they're all supposed to be bloody.
Yes. So there's a point when like his head is covered in quote-unquote blood, and they just take a cloth and instead just smear the blood all over his head.
Yeah.
Okay.
So then he cracks open the skull, and before the doctor had mentioned that he has this machine that can precisely cut a skull without damaging the brain.
Yes.
But it is the most annoying fucking sound I've ever heard.
They do it at least 5 times, and each time it does its cutting, it does this ridiculously high-pitched squealing noise.
So I mentioned the bad break sound.
Yes.
This is where it first comes in.
Mm-hmm.
And every time he flicks the switch like 6 times in this scene.
Mm-hmm.
And every single time it's like...
Yeah.
Like, every time. Oh, it's so annoying.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I hate it.
But they finally done with it.
And then they get the skull open, and they take out the brain.
Yes.
Which looks like just, like, a dog food.
Well, when they take it out, it looks... When it's in the head, it looks normal. But for some reason, as soon as they're out, it's out of the head, it, like, magically morphs into, like... Just, it looks like a fucking, like, you know, a pork chops.
Yeah. And then...
Strange.
So they take it out, and he's all, like, careful with it, and he sets it in this, like, glass pie...
Yes.
Pie...
Literally.
Pie thing.
Literally.
It looks like a pie
fitting.
Tin.
Yeah. Fitting. Very fitting.
So then he takes it to this weird machine, and plugs a bunch of things into it, and then...
plugs a bunch of wires into it.
Closes this lid, and there's this, like, green light underneath it.
And that's... I guess that's keeping the brain alive.
And the guy's like... But doctor, I thought you said we had to do the transplant within an hour or whatever of taking the brain out.
Yeah.
And he's like, oh no, the brain will be fine in this until we can find a suitable body. And then we get Gore.
The big guy?
Yeah, Gore comes back. They wheel in the other guy.
He brings in the dead body.
Yeah, and the body's all, of course, since Gore threw him off of a fucking balcony.
All of his bones are broken.
All his bones are broken and he's unusable.
Mm-hmm.
And the doctor's all mad. He's like, why would you do this? Why?
Why?
Like, I should have known not to send an imbecile to get...
Yeah.
You know what it reminded me of? It reminded me of that scene in Young Frankenstein
when
the doctor's like... he's like, what was the name of not in this brain?
Exactly.
Abby. Abby something. Yeah.
Abby Normal.
Yeah. You brought me an abnormal brain? That's like...
Oh, yeah.
Seriously.
No, like, this goes there.
That's what I kept, like, remembering.
This goes there. Because then they're like, we don't have a body. And he looks at Gore. And...
Who's playing with toys.
Yes.
He's, again, the twin-headed transplant. He's a, like, 8-year-old trapped in a adult's body.
They use the same fucking dialogue. Because he looks at him. And then his assistant is like, no, you can't do this.
You know why they use the same dialogue in the same story?
Because it's the same actor?
It's the same guy that played transplant
it's
guy.
It's the same fucking year.
Yeah.
But it's the same dialogue in that he's like, he has no family, and he has a mind of a 5-year-old. No one will miss him. This is the same dialogue.
And like, after what those punks did to him, can we really do this to him?
Oh, yeah.
And then it flashes back.
The best flashback.
So it's Gore, before he was all dis...
His face morphed. Is disfigured.
Yeah, disfigured. And he's playing with this, like, toy gun.
Okay, do you know what it is? It looks like a bottle of bleach. It looks like if you took that and, like, attached some doohickey on it to make it look like a gun.
Yeah.
That is what it looks like.
It looks almost like one of those weird, like, 70s style, like, handheld vacuum machines.
Yes,
like,
exactly.
That they just took the cord off and, like, were like, here, like, pretend this is a gun.
Pretend this is a toy, because I guess they couldn't afford to just fucking buy a toy gun.
Buy a toy gun. But they have a toy gun in the other part of the film, but, you know.
Because they only had a budget for one toy gun.
Apparently. I'm guessing this film didn't have a very big budget.
No, like $5.
So it shows him, like, playing with it, you know, flipping around and, like, blasting, and he walks up on these two...
Rednecks?
I don't know if I'd call them, like, hillbillies, rednecks.
I would.
Because the guy's, like, sitting on the side of his car, and his belly is exposed, and he's just rubbing it.
He is just rubbing his exposed belly, yeah.
And the other one
is, like,
working on the car.
He's just looking at the engine. But I say they're rednecks because not only is that shot... of him, like, rubbing his belly, but also once they start talking, and he's just like, hey, look at you, what is that? Is that a toy?
What was weird is, like, he's looking at the engine, but the car battery is sitting on the side of the car.
Oh.
Like, on near the...
That's foreshadowing.
Near the roof.
Because he's gonna need that later.
Look. Oh, yeah. And so, they get up, and so the guy starts pestering him.
Yeah.
And he takes the gun away from him, and they start playing, like... What's that game called where the person's in the middle and you throw the thing in between?
But it's like every movie has, like, any kids movie with, like, bullies in it has that scene.
Yeah, where they're just tossing it back and forth.
Yeah,
where the kid's trying to get it, and
the kid is trying to get it, and they're just tossing it back and forth. Well, they do that.
So the guy with his belly exposed, he gets up, and he doesn't want to pull his shirt down because his belly is still exposed.
He continues to rub it. Oh, he's very proud of it.
And then, like, and then the one guy, so he catches it, and he breaks the gun.
Yeah.
And Gore gets really mad at that.
And he, like, pushes him, and he, like, smashes his face against, like, something.
Yeah, I don't know what he hit his face on, like, the antenna, but it wouldn't make him bleed like that.
It's a very lethal antenna.
So he, like, he comes back, and he has blood all over him, and he's like, ugh. And, like, the one guy, like, knocks Gore down.
He hits him with a shovel.
Yeah.
And then he gets...
up the battery.
The car battery.
Which apparently is a, like... I didn't know this was that easy to get to the liquid on a car battery.
No. Because he opens the fucking thing up and it pours out like he just opened a bottle of Coke.
Yeah, just pours all this battery acid.
And it burns his face.
With ease.
Very.
Now...
You know what's really tragic about that scene is... I guess they're trying to fix their car. Now they'll never be able to leave, Will.
Well, now what I don't get, and I'm not a car expert, but isn't... battery acid, like, more, like, not clear, and not, like...
Are you saying they didn't use actual battery acid?
No, and I don't think it's that easy to open a fucking car battery and, like...
get... I don't even remember him opening the fucking thing.
They don't. It's just open.
I'm pretty sure there's, like, a shot of him just, like, turning something, and it immediately, like, pours all the fucking acid out.
Even on old car batteries, like, you can't get to the liquid. They make that... shit, like, almost impossible to get to.
Not in this universe.
Why would you want to get to the liquid? Why were they even working on that side of the battery? Sorry, I won't go off on a tangent again. I just don't get why there was exposed battery acid just readily available.
Because they could not think of any other reason to have him scar his face.
Apparently not.
Because they mentioned earlier, like, your face was scarred by acid. And...
they have to do...
but I was expecting acid. Something... different?
Yeah.
But no.
No, we got
car
battery acid.
Well, tragic.
So then it, you know, and then it goes back and, like, it shows them pouring the battery acid on his face, but then it cuts back to Gore's actual face, which is all disfigured and horrible.
And at some point after this, we get the car chase.
So is it before the actual transplant that we get the car chase? I think it is.
It's before, yeah.
Yeah. So we get the car chase, and so Muhammad and Bob...
and two other people.
And two other people in the backseat are just random people.
Let's talk about the geography of this thing.
Oh, yeah.
So Muhammad is, like, is a Middle Eastern man.
Yeah.
I'm not sure if it's not a white guy in brown face. I'm not sure. It could be. But he's supposed to be a Middle Eastern man, okay? And Bob and all the other people who are also apparently from Khalid are dressed in, like, Soviet Union hats.
Yeah, and they have, like, black trench coats, too.
Yes.
Like, it's...
and, like, the black trench coat. But then, like, that later scene, he's wearing, like, that, like, all-white kind of, like...
button-down thing, but it's, like, it's not, like, a suit. It's, like, one of those, like...
it looks like...
almost like an officer's uniform.
Yeah, like an officer's uniform or like something that you'd see in like India.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. But he's still wearing the fucking Soviet like hat.
Yeah.
None of it makes any fucking sense.
I don't get it.
At all.
Well, again, it never establishes where they're at.
And we never even figure out the fucking geography of this guy.
No.
Thing. But.
So it shows them driving and they're, I think they're making it, I don't know. I can't remember what they're driving back for.
To leave?
Yeah, because the doctor kind of kicked Bob out and was like, I don't need your help.
Yeah,
and,
like, I have my assistant.
I have Doro, and he's, like, believe it or not, he's, like, the best assistant. I trust
he's
him
the best,
with
yeah.
this. Oh, doesn't it show Doro going to get the blood?
Yes.
So this is before the car chase.
Yes.
So Doro, he's like, the doctor's like, we need more blood.
Mm-hmm.
And so Doro takes the jar, and you're like, where do they get the blood from?
They have a magical
medieval dungeon. Yeah, they just have a dungeon. It looks like a castle dungeon.
It does. With torches on the walls.
Yeah.
And two women chained up, like,
I almost guarantee this is the only set they had to use. Like,
have you ever seen Robin Hood Men in Tights?
It looks like that, doesn't
it? It's the opening of Robin Hood Men in Tights.
Yeah.
They're like, chained up to the wall, and he goes in.
And Doro starts, like, taunting them with the keys, like, ha-ha-ha, that's exactly...
Oh, yeah. You want these, don't you? You want these.
You want these.
Except, we can't do it because the whole fucking scene
Oh, it's all echoey as shit.
They added echo sound effects, like, after the fact. At first, I thought it was just the way they recorded it.
Right.
But no. I noticed it later because there's a narration scene where mid-narration, it switches to the dungeon, and his voice also suddenly, magically, has the echo sound effect.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what they did. They just added it on.
So he taunts these two girls for a minute and then draws blood from one of them.
From one of them, yeah.
And goes and gives it to the doctor. Does he leave the keys at that point?
No.
No, yeah. Okay, it's
later.
So then we get the beautiful car chase scene. So
the greatest car chase scene.
So Bob and Muhammad are driving, and mm-hmm. they have the coffin behind them, and they just are going somewhere. I think they're going back to Khalid or something. I'm not sure. I don't know where they're going. It never says where they're going.
Well, who the fuck knows? Who the fuck knows?
I don't know, because it doesn't say where they're going.
No one knows.
So they're just driving, and they see a black car behind them.
And Khalid is like, I mean, not Khalid. Muhammad is like, we're being followed. And then Bob says the most No. Bob says we're being
Bob
followed.
Bob says we're being followed, and Muhammad says, just let them go around.
Yeah. It's like,
did you not hear Bob?
No.
You just said we're being followed. Why would you say let them go around?
Then it gets very intense.
By intense, do you mean disorienting and confusing?
Yes.
Because, yes, it gets very that.
Every time during the car chase, they'll have, like, a first-person, like, POV shot from the car.
So they show Bob and they show his pursuer.
Yeah.
But they look like the same goddamn person.
Oh, yeah.
Exactly the same.
Bob and whoever the fuck is pursuing him, they look like twins.
And they don't do anything, because, like, even the guy in the black car is dressed, like, almost the same way as Bob. So, like, they don't do anything to distinguish between them. Like,
the only difference is Bob is wearing a hat.
Yeah.
And the pursuer assassin man isn't, but it doesn't matter. They look the fucking same.
Yeah, they look exactly the same. I got confused of who was driving what car.
But every time they do like a POV shot of the car, every fucking time that the car turns, the camera goes into a Dutch angle. Every time.
Yeah.
And it's just disorienting, because when I say Dutch angle, I mean it goes full fucking like 90 degrees.
Full tilt.
Yeah.
Just tilted like...
So it goes left, and then it just tilts to the left, and then it like balances out, and then it tilts to the right. Keep doing that.
And it's so disorienting, and then they all show like scenes of like the, I have to mention, and I have, this is important, the blue station wagon is being pursued by a black car.
Yes.
Okay, remember that. Blue station wagon. So,
I can explain that to you.
So it's
movie magic.
Right. So I thought it was funny also, like the car chase scene, every time it turned a corner and it would show the two cars, you'd always see the car turn, like the blue car turning.
Yeah.
And then the black car would be pursuing it, but
it would slow down.
It would have its brakes on.
Yeah.
So, like, apparently he had to keep a safe distance.
Yeah, every time they get too close, the black car hits the brakes.
Yeah.
And you keep hearing the fucking brakes squealing over and over.
And then it shows, like, them side by side, but then the next scene, they'll be behind each other. And the next scene, and like, they're side by side, and then...
It'll cut to also, like, their facial expressions, mostly Muhammad, who, he's like, I don't know how to explain this. Have you ever seen those, like, you know that thing that they train astronauts in? Where you're, like, spinning around and your, like, face is, like, being, like, pressed like, back? That's what he looks like.
Like, he's being hit with a bunch of air all at once.
Yeah. And it's nonsense, because they're driving, like, 30 miles an hour.
And then it shows the guy in the black, and his facial expressions are hilarious, because he's, like, clenching his teeth and, like, glaring at him and stuff.
And then Bob's like, they're trying to run us off the road.
It's like, thanks. No shit, Sherlock.
No, we didn't notice. Jesus.
So they, like, keep doing this for a while, and then the black car finally, I don't even know what happens, because the black car gets beside them. It, like, tilts a bunch, and then, like, you just see the blue car, which is now white, rolling, and, like, Bob gets out right before it rolls, but it starts rolling.
Oh, he jumps out.
And it shows all the expressions, like, really, like, rapid fire shows expressions of the people in the car.
And the car just explodes.
And the car just rolls and explodes, and it's white all of a sudden.
It's a different car.
It's a totally different car, and it's white.
I know what killed them. The power of bad editing.
Yeah.
Because you just hear, I think you hear a sound effect of, like, a car hitting something, but then the next thing you see is just, like, ridiculous camera angles, and then Bob jumping out of it, and it just rolls down the hill.
Yeah.
And again, movie magic. It magically changes colors.
And also movie magic, Bob is completely unharmed.
No, Will.
He has a scratch on his hand.
A tiny scratch on his hand.
Yeah, they used to tie up and get all...
Where'd he get the rope?
I don't know.
Exactly.
I don't know. It never explains it.
Oh, I know. There's just rope. Oh, I know where he got it. He got it from the rope that was just magically grows in the wild, you know?
Yeah.
Because he has, like, bandage... Like, the kind of thing that a doctor would bandage a wound with, he just somehow has it on him.
Yep.
Who knows?
So then it comes back to the doctor, and they have
them, like, ready. Amir, he's done.
Amir's already done.
Yeah, he's in Gore's body.
They're just talking about how he's ready, and he'll be awake in a few hours.
Mm-hmm.
And Doro is like, why'd you do this? Like, Gore
was my only friend.
Gore was my only friend. He's the only... Like, you know, he was the only one I trusted or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And then we cut back to the wife. We cut to the wife at the airport.
Yes.
And Bob is picking her up in another car, a gray car this time.
Yeah, it's like a sports car. And I don't know how he got it. He just has it.
I don't know. It doesn't explain shit. He just has it and is picking her up at the airport. Yeah. And it's the same goddamn day.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that just happened hours ago, and Bob's totally fine with it. He's just like, you know what? A car rolled over. A bunch of my friends died. Yeah. You know, whatever.
So he tells her the whole thing.
Yeah, he's like, Muhammad's dead.
There's something going on.
Muhammad's dead.
There's a scheme about Will. And you also see, so they drive.
And then you see the guy in the black car that's in a phone booth.
He's in a phone booth, and he's talking on the phone with the doctor.
The guy's
you find out that the doctor paid him to kill them. Yeah.
And so he's like, I saw the car blow up. There's no trace of him.
Yeah.
And then Bob sees him, and they pull over.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know,
sick fights
the
him.
Wife just sits in the car while Bob and goes
she's
off.
In the car. She's, like, out of the car. But she gets... So, this whole scene is so fucking baffling because you just, like, it's all in close-ups. All of the scenes are close-ups, so where, like, I'm not even convinced that they were there on the same, like, location. Because you see a close-up of the guy in the phone booth, and then a close-up of Bob in the car, and then suddenly Bob is just chasing, like...
Yeah.
He's out of the car chasing him. And then the wife is, like, out of the car, she's just smoking.
She doesn't care.
She's staring. She's just
like, whatever.
She's just staring.
Oh, that's the guy that killed Muhammad? Cool.
Oh, Bob is chasing some random guy who looks exactly like him? Oh, that's fine.
Yeah, so they chase each other across a rooftop. Blah,
you get a sick fight scene.
Blobbity blah, like a sick fight scene with them pulling punches.
Yeah.
And,
I mean, I'll give them this. They really did run across a bunch of rooftops.
And then the guy, like, tries to throw Bob off the roof.
By humping him?
Yeah. By, like, you know, getting up on him and kind of, like, shoving him towards the edge.
He's not successful.
And then Bob kicks him and then gets him down. They chase
some more.
The guy goes off the roof and, like, tries to get back in his car, and then we see
they also have, like, he grabs, like, a shovel or something?
Yeah.
On the roof, and then, it's the fucking assassin, he, like, smacks Bob with it, and then he drops it, and then that's when he runs to his car.
Yeah, so we see Doro going off into the bushes.
We see Doro humping some bushes. We're like, okay.
And he's looking at the guy's car, the black car that was chasing the blue/white car.
Yes.
And he's all laughing, and I'm like, why? Why would he be laughing next to this guy's car? So the guy goes down, gets in his car, and it explodes. Mind you, the car is in a totally different
location. The car is in the middle of the fucking desert.
Yeah.
They were just in the city. And I mean, like, downtown. So apparently, outside of this fucking building... is just a goddamn, like, wilderness.
Desert. Yeah, just desert wilderness, bushes everywhere, just... So his car explodes. And Doro's just, like, laughing and clapping his hands, like... Like, that's exactly how he sounds, too.
This movie's the precursor to Mini-Me.
Seriously. So,
we get...
Bob wakes up, or, like, gets up and, like, goes back to the wife. And they drive back to the doctor's.
They drive back to the doctor's. And at some point, Doro is, like... Again, he's, like, teasing the woman in the dungeon.
He's teasing the woman in the dungeon. And then,
he leaves the keys.
Yeah, he unlocks the one girl's chains and, like, drags her off somewhere. But leaves the keys.
He leaves them and... The other woman is able to grab them with her foot.
Yeah.
And unlock herself.
And unlock herself, and she starts crawling through this dungeon with a medieval torch.
Yes.
And it turns into this dungeon crawler.
Yes. Complete with cobwebs and skeletons.
And a guy hanging and barking at her.
They never told you who the fuck is that,
Will. He's like, left. Like,
who the fuck is that,
Will? I don't know. It turns into, like, this medieval dungeon thriller.
This thing's already changed genres, like, 5 times by now.
And then she, like, gets...
By this point, we forgot there was even a fucking transplant.
Yeah.
We're just, like, it's a fucking political thriller with, like, exploding cars and, like, a midget.
Like, it's weird, because this, like, whole movie is about a transplant, but they don't mention it, like, in any of the movie. It's, like, probably 10% of the movie.
It's probably for our benefit. Because, I don't know, we had another transplant movie, so...
Yeah, it's true. So she goes off, she gets tired, and falls asleep in, like, a corner of the dungeon.
She falls asleep, and a toy spider is on her hand. Remember that?
That's later, though. That's when it goes back to her. So, it goes back to the doctor, and Bob wants some answers, right?
He wants some answers.
Because he's like...
And Doro answers the door, and he's like, the doctor's in the lab.
Yeah.
I'm not joking... Lets them in, immediately laughs, and immediately goes and fucks with their car.
Yeah. He drags this, like, cinder block over and just unplugs the starter to their car.
Easy.
Yeah, just like that.
They're that stupid.
Mm-hmm.
So they go in there and...
And then Bob starts interrogating the doctor.
Because he sees that he put the brain into Gore.
Mm-hmm.
And he's pissed. He's not happy.
And then he's like, well, Muhammad's dead, and, like, I need some answers and stuff like this. And then Amir, who's now in Gore's body,
starts waking up. Starts talking.
And they're like, no, stay, like, rest. Like, you need rest. And, like, Gore's like, no, and then breaks out of his restraint.
First he's talking to them, and he's like, oh, my friends are here, like, Bob and my wife and blah, blah, blah. And something, like, triggers him.
Doesn't the wife say something like, how could you do this? Or, like...
No, like...
this isn't...
I think he's like, we have to go back to Khalid. And everyone's like, no, you have to stay. And he gets pissed off and stands up.
Yeah. And so he stands up, gets, like, really angry. And he goes over to this glass.
Yes.
And, like, sees himself in the reflection. He's like, I'm hideous! I'm a monster!
Yeah.
Like, how could you do this? And, like, goes over to the doctor and starts, like, choking him out.
Yeah.
And that's when Doro comes back in and is like, no, Gore, no!
Don't do it!
Don't do it, Gore! And, like, so he stops. And he's like, what happens after this?
I mean, eventually he runs out of there.
Yeah.
But she
accuses... The wife accuses Bob.
She accuses Bob of being in on the scheme.
Even though Bob was the one that was with Muhammad.
They saw the fucking assassin blow up. She saw whatever.
And she thinks Bob's out of nowhere.
I know why.
She just thinks Bob's the assassin. I know why.
Because they look the fucking same.
Yeah. Well.
Which, I'll be honest, that scene fucked with us because... They both look like goddamn twins, and then they're fighting on screen, and it's like, okay, well, I guess it's not the same person.
It looks like the same person,
but it still is just...
It still looks like just twins fighting.
It's fucking bizarre.
Yeah, it is weird. But yeah, she all of a sudden just out of the blue, accuses Bob.
Yeah.
And
she and, well, he knocks out Bob.
Yeah, and then Gore and the wife run away.
They can't start the car.
Yep, so they start running out in the wilderness.
Mm-hmm. They just run in the wilderness.
And then they go to, like, the highway.
Yes.
And she flags down a guy.
Yeah.
And, like, it shows two hippies in, like, a car. And then Gore grabs one of them and pulls him out, like, with such force
and that kills him. Hippie driver is just like, nope, and just drives off.
He's like, oh, my friend's dead. Fuck you! And then just, drives off. Bye-bye, bitch! And just, like, drives off down the road. And never to be seen again.
He'll have a hell of a story.
What a great friend. Doesn't even try and help his friend or anything.
He'll have a hell of a story. We should also mention that Goro looks like fucking Conehead.
Yeah.
He is wearing a, like, oh my god. He's wearing, like, a fake bald cap over his head.
And you can tell it's fake because there's a flap in the back.
There's a flap in the back and it's, like, way taller than his actual head.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if, like, they're trying to make it seem like, oh, his brain is so big.
Or if it's both brains in the same body? Is that what they're trying to do? Because we got confused. Look,
if that's what they're trying to do, I commend them, but they literally never fucking told us that.
No. So they keep walking, and
eventually the woman in the dungeon wakes up again.
Yeah, and that's when it shows the fake, like, rubber spider.
The Halloween toy?
That's, like, just, like, going up and down.
Yeah, it's, like, it looks like, oh my god. It's so fucking goofy. It's a fucking toy. It's just a toy.
And then she starts going through the dungeon more.
When she wakes up, she freaks out. And she, like, does, I guess, smacks it off or something. And then she wakes up and, like, crawls around and passes out.
Yeah, she passes out again.
Yes.
Because she sees, no, sorry. So she sees all the skeletons along the wall. And then she sees the girl that was with her just dead on the wall. And so she passes out again. And that's when Doro starts taking Bob down to the dungeon.
Yes. And how does he take him down to the dungeon, Will?
On a fucking, like, a little, like, one of those.
Do you remember in elementary school? Those little, like, four-wheel boards?
Like, it was just a platform on four wheels.
Yes.
That you would, like, you know, you would kneel on and push yourself across the ground. Yes, like in elementary school? Yeah.
That's what he uses.
So he pushes him around, and then,
like, then he takes, like, 2 minutes slowly pushing him down the steps.
Yeah.
And you see him, like,
step by step.
Step by step, just bopping his head against the fucking steps.
So he finally gets him down the whole thing and then, like, sees the girl's not there.
Yeah.
And he starts flipping the fuck out. But it's, like, okay. Throws the keys against the wall and stuff.
He just grabs her.
Yeah. He goes off, grabs her, and then
he's very strong.
And that's when Bob starts waking up.
Yeah.
And, like,
well, there's, for some reason, we might have missed it. There is a syringe there.
Yeah, so the girl gets the upper hand and, like, you know, stabs Doro. We don't know. It didn't look like there was anything in the syringe. She just stabs him in the stomach.
Stabs him in the stomach and he fucking dies.
He falls over dead. Like, what was in that syringe?
Something very deadly to midgets? I don't know. Again, so there's nothing. I don't know.
Oh, my God.
And then, but he dies.
Then Bob gets up and is like, where am I? What happened? Like, yeah. And then the girl kind of explains.
Mm-hmm.
And then we see the doctor. Well, the doctor beforehand, when Gore...
He got his ray gun.
He got out, like, it literally looks like a 50s ray gun.
Yes. His doctor's cabinet has a fucking big ray gun in it for some reason. Just in case.
Just in case.
But we find out why.
Oh, we will. We'll get there. So then Bob and her go off to, like, look for Gore,
and again,
too.
They go to the car.
And they won't start.
And he grabs his gun out of the glove compartment.
Mm-hmm. Oh, and no, we forgot to mention the best part about the dungeon. She has an injury on her leg, and he's like, oh, it's probably a mouse bite.
Well, she tells him it was a mouse. Rat.
A rat that bit her.
Well, you say mouse. I know why you say mouse, Will. Because she says rat, but earlier we saw... They are tiny mice.
Yep.
So, again, consistency.
So, you know, again, I'm not...
We've all seen the movies where someone gets bitten by a snake, and then...
They suck the poison
They
out.
Suck the venom out. Here's the thing. That's what he does.
Rabies doesn't work the same way.
No. If he did that, he would literally have mouth rabies.
Yeah. And, well, I mean, by that time, the rabies would have already been through her blood system.
Yes.
So he sucks out the quote-unquote rabies.
And spits it out.
And spits it out, like it's supposed to be hunky-dory. So then they get up, go find the gun, and start searching for Gore, and the doctor's searching for Gore. Then we get a couple scenes of the wife and Gore, like, roaming the countryside, and...
Yeah.
Then we get a little kid playing with a gun. And Gore sees the kid playing with a gun and is like, mine!
Mine.
Mine. And, like, mine. Starts chasing the kid.
Starts chasing the kid, and the wife's like, hey, wait, where are you going?
And then just kind of gives up and just sits there.
And the kid eventually runs away and catches up to the doctor. Oh, no. So right before that...
The kid dropped the gun.
No, so right before he started chasing the kid, didn't the doctor blast the ray gun to kind of, like, anger him or whatever the fuck?
Oh, yeah, that's right.
So... Well, you find out his ray gun blasts, like, this fucking annoying sound, and it gets, it like, hurts him. They explain what the fuck it is later.
He gets, like, angry every time he does it.
And he blasts it, and he gets angry, and then he sees the kid, and he starts saying mine, and we're just like, what the fuck? Why is he suddenly acting like...
And he almost kills the kid, but then lets him go.
No,
that's right. Oh, like, no, the kid gets away, that's right.
Yeah, he gets away... He meets the doctor and the woman who was in the dungeon.
Bob and the woman, yeah.
Yeah, Bob and Dungeon Lady. And they're like, you know, what's going on? Oh, a monster was chasing me. He's like, really? Was it a big man? And they kind of figure out what's going on. And the doctor tells her and the kid to, like, wait here. I'll be back. Okay?
And if you see it, shoot him.
Yes.
See, if you see Gore, shoot him.
Yes. And eventually he runs off somewhere and Gore catches up to the woman and the kid. And he's like, he's suddenly acting like himself again. Where he's like, I don't want to hurt you. I don't know what is happening. And she's like, what are you? He's like, I'm an important man. I'm the leader of the country of Khalid. She's like, you're a monster. He's like, no, you don't understand. My people love me. She's like, then you should go be with your people.
And he's like, you're right. And then, like, the doctor blasts that thing again.
Yeah.
And gets him all angry and riled.
Well, so he gets him angry and riled. And I was like, oh, is he going to kill her now? Well, no, because she's like, are you okay? And what does he say? He's like, don't touch me. And just runs away.
Yeah, don't touch
me. Fucking Tommy Wiseau.
And then he finds the gun and is like, mine.
Yeah, he just picks it up. He's like, mine.
And then goes back to the wife. So then Bob comes back to the girl and the kid.
Who's now fallen asleep on Bob's chest.
And he's like, are you okay?
They start having a...
Heart-to-heart.
Very philosophical.
About how Bob, like, loves Khalid and he has how to he be
was,
there.
He was born in England, but he grew up in Khalid and he loves the country.
And Amir is, like, one of his closest friends.
Yeah, and he has to finish this.
Yeah.
And they kiss... And she's like, and they talk some more, they kiss again.
And then she's like, will I ever see you again? Like, and he's like, I doubt it.
I doubt it. And just leaves.
He's like, I don't see how, is what he says.
We were in tears.
Oh, it was riveting.
We were in tears. The feels, man, let me tell you. We care about these characters so much. They met like 20 minutes ago.
Yeah.
And they're already like making out.
So then Bob goes off to like, confront the doctor and
yes
Gore. So Gore goes back to the wife.
Yes.
And then at that point the doctor comes by, right?
I don't remember how the fuck this went. When did he so then at some point the he doctor, choked her.
Yeah. No, okay, so
she took his gun.
So what happened was when he was finding the gun, remember, mm-hmm. the doctor came over and was like talking to the wife. Mm. And the wife was like why are you doing this? All this stuff. And then the doctor goes off somewhere to look for Gore, but Gore's already on the way back to the wife.
Yeah.
And you hear the ray gun, and he starts choking her.
Well, no. He's playing with the toy.
Oh, she takes it away and throws it on the ground.
He freaks the fuck out and starts choking her.
And she's like, doctor! Doctor! Doctor!
Okay, yeah. And then the doctor runs in and zaps him.
Yep. And then you figure out...
Let's explain. Before this, he tells her that he put a chip into his brain, and that's what's making the...
It's like a mind control thing.
Yes.
So, basically, whenever he does the ray gun thing, it's controlling Gore to act out violently.
Apparently.
Yeah, or do the doctor's biddings.
Apparently. Very clear science.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
So, he confronts Gore finally. The doctor confronts Gore, and like Gore's like, "Why are you doing this?" Like, and then,
"Don't you understand? You're gonna pay the biggest medical bill that anyone's ever paid in their life."
He's like, "What do you mean?"
"It's like, what do you want?" He tells him, "I want your country."
Yeah, he wants to rule over Khalid.
Yes, that's the scheme. The doctor set all this up. Because he wants to rule the country of Khalid. Whatever. Because that's how it works.
Yep, apparently.
Well, it gets better.
Bob comes by and, like, is holding the gun.
No. So, they're all talking, and Bob just points his gun the back of the doctor's head.
And the doctor just nonchalantly just looks over and is like, "How did you find us?"
Yes, immediately.
Not even, like, surprised or anything. He's just like, "How did you find us?"
There's a gun at the back of his fucking head. He's just like, "How did you find us?"
And then Bob confronts both of them, and, like, Amir as Gore is like, "Kill him! This is the only way to stop it. He wants to take over Khalid."
Yes.
And the doctor's like, "No, there's been enough.
Enough killing.
Enough killing.
We are all, like, doomed or something."
Some stupid bullshit. And then Bob, like, you know, is like, "I know the only way to end this." And then Bob just shoots Amir.
Yeah. Doesn't kill him, though.
Just shoots Gore.
Just like, for no reason. He's like fucking invincible, though. Apparently.
Shoots him in the leg, I think.
But then he shoots him with fucking nothing.
So then the wife runs off and...
Because he tells her, like, "Run!"
Yeah. And so Bob and the wife run off.
Yeah. They split up.
In apparently different directions for some fucking reason. And
Amir is chasing the wife.
Ramirez Gore is chasing the wife. And the wife, like, goes on this cliff, and, like, Gore follows her. And then she falls off the cliff.
Yeah, she falls off the cliff and halfway down turns into a mannequin.
Yep, with the worst edited scream I've ever...
Oh.
It was almost as bad as the guy's scream in the beginning.
Editing? I could say some things about the editing in this. Editing. I'll keep my mouth shut about that. Because I could talk a lot about editing in this thing.
So she falls off, and Amir looks at her and is like, "What am I doing?" Like, all this stuff. He goes back, and then...
Then he starts looking for Bob.
Yeah.
Who's hiding in a bush. And... So I don't know how the fuck the logic of this scene works, because he's watching Goro from this bush. Goro moves past him, and then Bob gets out of the bush to, like, sneak up on him. And then suddenly... Goro's just right behind him.
Yeah.
And he chokes him to death.
Yep. Chokes him to death. And then the doctor and Gore find him, and they take him back to the lab.
And then you see that
he's gonna transplant Amir's brain
into Bob.
And they're gonna do plastic surgery to make him look like Amir again.
Yes. Then we cut to the same photograph we had at the very beginning of the movie of this random building in India or whatever.
Yeah.
And they are in a TV studio.
They're supposed to be in Khalid now.
Yes.
And the doctor is sitting with the cabinet members, right?
Yes.
And Bob/Amir...
Is doing a speech.
Gets up and does a speech and says that the doctor is going to be ahead of the...
Department of Science?
Science for the entirety of Khalid, which will be the biggest in the world.
Yes. And basically starts doing this speech about how Khalid will have to make some sacrifices and... We'll have to do this and that, but in the end, it'll all be worth it.
And then it zooms in on the hand where Bob got cut.
We should also mention that during this scene, it keeps cutting to everything that we just watched.
Yeah, like, it's like a slideshow of everything.
It's a slideshow of, like, all the fucking shenanigans that we just witnessed.
And it's like, we just watched this, we don't need a refresher. This isn't a TV show.
They're really driving it home.
This isn't a TV show.
Nope, they are driving it home.
So then it zooms in on the cut on his hand, and credits.
I guess the scheme is that he's going to,
slowly take over Khalid?
By transplanting everyone's brains?
Well, no, because it can control Amir with the ray thing. or something, I don't know. Like, I don't really get it, but... I think he's, like, trying, semi-mind-controlling Amir.
Well, no, he's definitely mind-controlling Amir. But look, I know we ask this a lot with these movies, but why though?
But why though? There's no, I don't know. Because
the logic I thought was he was going to make himself the president.
Right.
But
he didn't.
The final scheme is even more harebrained than that.
Yeah, he just makes himself the head of a science department.
What's he going to do? Transplant everyone's brains in this magical country?
I don't know.
All we're saying is this is the greatest plot ever.
Yeah. I mean, obviously.
I mean, it's every genre. It's so
incoherent.
It's every genre.
It's everything you need. Comedy, horror, action.
Political thriller.
Thriller. Like, everything.
Comedy?
Yeah.
I mean, the whole movie's a comedy.
Well, yeah. It's hilarious. So what are your final, like, thoughts on the film?
I think I love this movie.
I think in some weird way I do, too. Like, it's very incoherent, and it's bad. It is bad. Don't get us wrong. But...
Ski Utah.
Oh, yeah, the girl's poster has a Ski Utah thing.
For no reason.
Local pride there.
For no fucking reason.
I don't know. Like, it's really bad. Like, don't get me wrong. But it's kind of, like, so incoherent and messy that it comes off really funny.
I wouldn't call it incoherent. I mean, it all eventually makes sense in its own, like, absolutely stupid way.
It just kind of fishtails. Like, it just, like, yeah. It doesn't know what direction it wants to take. So it goes off on a million different directions, and then they somehow meet at the end.
Eventually it all makes sense, but it is so fucking stupid.
But I would say, like, in a very funny way, this movie is actually entertaining.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's entertaining in the fact that it's so bad that it's funny.
Oh no, it's incredibly entertaining.
Yeah.
This thing is... It's hilarious.
And that's my final thoughts.
And it never stops being hilarious. That's the thing.
And the acting's so bad. The sound editing's horrible. Like, everything is bad about this movie, but it comes off so funny that I loved watching
it. Like, it never stops.
It's such a great film to just sit down and make fun of.
And it just keeps... It's one of those movies where it just doesn't stop being stupid and funny.
Right.
Every scene is something new... And something that you did not see before, and it just keeps finding ways to amaze you.
And it's all very silly and very entertaining.
Yes.
Yeah, so...
10 out of 10.
Oh, yeah. I don't know if I'd go for 10 out of 10, but...
I think everyone should watch this.
Yeah. So if you want to watch it, we watched it on a site called Fandor. They do streaming. You have to have a membership, though.
I think you can rent it on Amazon, too.
Yeah.
If you don't have
so, I mean, you'll be able to find it. If you have a Fandor account, go to there. If not, rent it on Amazon if you want to watch just kind of a goofy, like, culty movie.
It's only like an hour and 25 minutes.
Yeah.
And it goes by quickly.
Oh, yeah.
We only checked the time once.
Yeah.
Like,
we didn't want to turn this one off, so it was great.
We actually had to rewind it a couple times just because we wanted to, like, more... You know, process it better, what we witnessed.
You mean laugh more hysterically at what we just watched?
How did you find us? Yeah, how did you find us? Let's see. There's a blonde woman, a guy with a ray gun, and a fucking massive man with a cone head.
And the ray gun makes the loudest sound I've ever heard.
In the middle of the fucking desert. Yeah. How did you find us? Oh, I don't know. How did you find... And yeah, you could hear that goddamn thing probably, like, across the whole state. But don't forget, when he blasts the ray gun, he'll deliver a dialogue.
And I was like, excuse me, what?
You can't hear it at all.
Excuse me, what'd you say?
Like, let's do our impression of it. I'll do the ray gun and you do the dialogue, okay?
Well, what did you think was gonna, like, blah, 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 blah?
Oh, man, great writing.
Yeah. Oh, man. So this has been Brain of Blood.
Brain of Blood.
And 1971.
We have one more movie left.
We have one more movie, and then we're moving on to 72. And we'll finally get into some action movies, which I'm really excited about.
Oh, we did get into an action movie just now.
I did have some action, so that was good.
I mean, it was unexpected.
Yep. So that was Brain of Blood.
Highest recommendation.
Highest. Best movie we've watched so far.
Easily.
But anyway, so for They Mostly Come Out at Night, this has been Will.
And this has been Alex.
And we'll talk to you later.
Bye!